Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Roger, all.
Well, greetings, my dear friends from all over the world. This is Maarten Horst speaking on BBS Radio Station 1 with my program ET First Contact Radio. And as you are used from me, I bring you 3 times a week the latest galactic news with uplifting information. And today I have a very special and honored guest, and her name is Mary Blake. And Mary Blake is an author, a multi-life therapist, a radio show personality, spiritual coach, a healing energy channel, and an anti-aging specialist. She has worked with celebrities, business executives, artists, and ambassadors. In her spiritual development and self-mastery classes, she works with a catalyst to unleash and develop the latent talents of others. Mary is convinced that paranormal and extrasensory perception are mankind's birthright that civilization has represented and denied. She began her multi-life therapy during a healing class. A spontaneous regression evolved into this unique therapeutic technique that rewrites history and permanently erases karma and frees clients to reach their highest potential. She considers multi-life therapy her greatest achievement. As an author of Journals of a Healer, a personal account of ventures beyond time, space, and so-called reality, published in 2012, which gives evidence of the limitless power of the human spirit. This narrative non-fiction chronicles trips into others' lifetimes that change lives in remarkable ways is available on Amazon and over 2,500 other booksellers. So without further ado, I want to heartfully welcome you to the show, Mary.
Well, thank you, Martin. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, Mary, and I want to thank you. I just want to be open to the listeners. Half an hour before the show, I called you and I said I didn't feel well, and you gave me a wonderful healing, and I feel rejuvenized and better and optimistic, and it is really amazing. It was a very short healing, only 15 minutes, but very powerful, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're most welcome, Martin. I was really happy that I was there at the right time for you with the right energy.
Yes, the energy was very positive and uplifting. Now, I understand that you are a multi-life therapist. Could you tell the audience how your work came about?
Well, it I must tell you honestly that I backed into this kicking and screaming and saying, no, 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 not me. But mm-hmm. I had finally, after trying to ignore it and deny it most of my life, finally admitted that, yes, I was working with healing energy. And I had been talked into giving this healing class by a medical student. And she insisted that she was becoming a doctor simply so that she could have a legitimate way to use the healing, the true healing that we mm-hmm. we do, that without a medical advice, you see. And so she was interested in channeling healing energy and talked me into giving a class. And the first class that I gave was kind of, we had a kind of an odd thing happen, but we got past it. We got into the second class, and then suddenly I had been demonstrating healing process on one of my client, one of my private clients, and suddenly, as I finished up on the working on this colitis, this medical student beckoned to me, and she was in serious trouble. And what had happened was that she had spontaneously gone into another lifetime. And I had no idea. I was literally panicking because at that particular time in life, I was convinced that past life regression was a scam. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience in England which convinced me that it really didn't work and that it was all pretty phony. And so here I was, and this was happening right in my class. And I had other class members sitting there watching me, staring, you know. And I couldn't let go. I couldn't possibly fall apart because I was the instructor, you know. So I did the only thing that was possible for me. I screamed for help. And oh. In my head, you know, to spirit, God, whatever you want to call that wonderful all that is that's out there. And almost immediately, I felt myself being filled. Almost it was as if I was being put on like a glove. And I was floating on the edge and watching and listening while this brilliant, wise, wonderful being spoke through my mouth and used my hands and arms to soothe this person while she went through a death scene in colonial America, like in the 1600s, where exactly it was at this point, because this was in 1980. And so she came through this, and I was just an observer. And spirit was doing the entire thing. And I cannot tell you how relieved I was, because I was convinced my poor left hemisphere was screaming at me, this woman is flipping out, and she's going to wind up in the psych ward, and you're going to wind up in jail, because this is your class and it's your responsibility. So I cannot tell you how grateful I was to spirit for stepping in and doing the work. And as she came through it, with positive input and happy outcome, and everything was all fixed. We looked at each other, and I was absolutely convinced that it was a once in a lifetime event, that it couldn't possibly happen again. And the next week it happened again with somebody else. And the week mm-hmm. after that, there were two people who had the experience. And I couldn't figure out why it was happening or what was going on, and who. I thought perhaps that it was the combined interest, the energy from the class. And then one of the class members, who happened to be a psychologist and worked with Mental Board Health, Board of Mental Health for New York City, invited me to coffee after the class and proposed that we should do it privately because in his position and considering that who he was, he could not do this publicly. And I told him, honestly, I don't know why it's happening. I don't know how it's happening. And we might just wind up with nothing happening at all. And he said, well, I'm willing to risk failure if you are. And so we set a time. And then when we went through, and I just gave myself as an instrument, I had already dedicated my life as an instrument of divine purpose. So I just gave myself to the spirit who was in charge of this, as far as I knew. And he had a wonderful, incredible experience that really literally changed his life for the better. So that was literally the first time that I realized that I had anything to do with it, even if I was just an instrument. And over the months, it became stronger and it refined. It was better refined, and then it eventually grew into something much more complex and more thorough and more positive, even than what had originally happened. And I began to first I thought of it kind of as soul voyages, and then I realized we were literally doing therapy. We were going into other lifetimes, communicating with the other incarnations. And Spirit was actually making recommendations and suggestions and guiding that other incarnation past and beyond and dangerous situation that had created the karma, mm-hmm. and creating a whole new life path. And they were able to live a life. There was one young man who, for example, came in. He was being hanged for poaching in England on someone's estate back in 1722 or something like that. And he was given instructions once we found out why he was being hanged. He was giving instructions as to completely avoid that, and instead of stealing, to offer to barter his services for a meal. And he had been taken on as a protege by the lord of the manor. And he wound up living, maybe over 20 years longer, and living an incredibly productive life. Well, this young man, he almost apologized when he came into class for even taking up room in the class. And after this session, he came swaggering in saying, well, I think I'll sit down here, you know. So his whole personality changed, and instead of a shy, embarrassed person, he was ebullient, you know.
That is a beautiful a story and of your history of your work. And I must tell you, Mary, that I myself, when I was 15, had a similar experience where I called on spirit or God or a prime creator, because I had a very difficult time back then. And I felt like a baby in the mother's arms, wrapped around love. And that lasted for a couple of hours. And it was really a beautiful experience.
Oh, that is wonderful. You know, it's amazing how few people actually reach out in a way that spirit can actually help.
That was the deepest moment of my life, and also the most uplifting moment of my life. And from that moment on, I was helped and being protected since until now.
That's wonderful, and I'll bet you give thanks every day for it.
Oh yes, oh yes, and I call in the Prime Creator, the Father Mother God, because I do not forget about the feminine aspect of the Creator. Every day, before I go to sleep. Now, Mary, I don't know if it's possible, but since you have access to spirit, and I'm very curious to the world spirit myself, that's why I do this radio show, not only about ETs and UFOs, but especially my own lifetime. And I have often wondered what I was prior to this incarnation, where I lived and what I do, what I did, where I was.
Well, you know, one of the things I should say is that when I do this work with people, it's generally very private because a lot of strange things come out. And it takes it has taken up to like 3 hours.
Wow.
I don't just approach this in a flip play direction and say, oh, you were so and so. I can read the Akashic records and so. We actually go there and communicate and talk back and forth to each other, and in a way, and we even share knowledge. For example, you know, in Star Trek, the Vulcan mind meld, where Dr. Spock would put his hands on somebody's head, and he would get their thoughts and their knowledge and the information that find out what was going on. Well, we can do that. And it's almost it's totally amazing to me because I don't do this. You have to understand that I am it's almost like I'm the television set that the show is coming through on, you know.
Well, actually, Mary, this comforts me that you're saying this, because I have had people on the show that could in a second tell miracles about situations or persons or whatever, but if you say that it will take hours, that means for me that you go deep and that you are protective. You are protecting the privacy of a person, and you take your time to find the right and the correct information, because this is a private situation, and actually I prefer the way that you approach it with care. And that's I should congratulate you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, see, my primary job is I use relaxation techniques and guided imagery to enable the client to go into an altered state of consciousness so that they can literally experience this firsthand. You know, when somebody just tells you, I see that you're doing this and this and this and this, you know, how can you trust it? How can you believe it? Because you didn't see that.
No.
I wasn't there. You know, there's...
Yes.
There used to be a radio comedian who used to tell horrible lies, you know, and the announcer was so now Baron Munchausen. How that sounds ridiculous. And he would say, but you're there, Charlie? Well, no, I wasn't there. Then it happened. So if you're not there, how can you know? How can you really believe that it's actually going on? So if you are there and you experience the changes and the awareness and the growth and the increased knowledge and wisdom of the other incarnation that we're dealing with, then what happens is that nobody can ever convince you that it didn't happen. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's a difference between believing something and knowing. I mean, when you believe something, you have to say, I believe because. And then you line up your arguments and you say, and it's because of this and this and this and this and this, and that's why I believe it. But when you know something, you may not even be able to prove it at all. But it's so real and so total that you just know it is real. And nobody can talk you out of it.
Yeah, I would prefer a session with you in a private situation where we would take enough time to access this information and experience it for myself. And I think that's for all the clients that will come to you will be the best way, because they will know and they will not believe. They will experience and know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I met a guy a couple of years in England with dowsing rods, and in a matter of 2 minutes, he was able to tell me where I lived, what I did, but it didn't feel right for me.
Uh-huh. You were not sure whether he was making it up or not.
Yeah, I believe he was making it up, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, that's what happened to me in England, and the funniest thing was the man couldn't hypnotize me. And so
no.
I said, well, let's try it again. And I went back under astral projection techniques. And I went
yes.
into the 12th century. And he was convinced that I was an anchorite, and I was actually a Cathar. Well, I was in France, and he was convinced that I was in England. And he proceeded to go through all this complicated explanation about where I was and everything. I think he was trying to impress my blonde girlfriend that came with me to support me, you know, because I didn't know where I was going. And so that's why I was totally convinced that this was a scam, because he just made up a lot of stuff that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must tell you that my mother was just standing here, and she was smiling at me and putting her thumbs up for what you were saying and what I was saying. So she understands you and she agrees with you.
Oh, that's good. You know, I mean, for example, I had a psychic tell me that I was the Oracle of Delphi. And I said, yeah,
oh, my.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
I said, yeah, sure. Well, believe it or not, a few months later, a psychic who didn't even know the person told me the same thing. I said,
oh,
that's strange. That isn't it odd that they both made up the same, that they both came up with the same thing? Well, so when a third psychic finally went into quite a bit of detail about it, I said, why? I don't know. When three different psychics who don't even know each other tell me the same thing, maybe I better listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just decided that I would accept it until somebody told me that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it feels somehow. And actually, the oracle did come through in one of my channeling sessions. I taught a spiritual development class in full trance, and when the oracle came through, then I finally had to admit it, you know. But I have no memory of being the oracle. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I understand, Mary, is that we all have a soul. Of course we have. But that we have aspects of our soul. Let's say I met many people saying, spiritual people or psychics that said, well, I am Isis or I am a and I met many people who said they were Isis or Osiris or Tutankhamun or whatever. And then I think that aspects of our souls might have had things to do with that incarnation in Egypt or in Peru or on Sirius or Pleiades or wherever. But I think,
okay. Uh-huh.
Honestly, that Can you explain what it means, an aspect of the soul that has been...
Yes, I believe I can. I think I can throw a little bit of light on it. I have been given information that there is a whole soul. And each aspect is each incarnation is a small aspect of that whole soul. Think of it like the ocean, and the incarnation is a wave that comes on shore. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that wave do? It stirs things up. It grabs some things and pulls them back into the ocean. So we come from the from this whole soul, which I think of as the cumulative wisdom and compassion of all of our lifetimes, and we have our experiences. We learn whatever we do. We stir things up here on the Earth planet. We grab we learn things. We grab things, and we take that back into the whole soul, the whole self, like the wave takes things back into the ocean. Now, it is a scientific fact that something that is put into the ocean eventually will be absorbed and disseminated into every single drop in the ocean. So in that same way, our experiences are added to and alter in some way the core vibration of the whole self. So
yeah, that makes whole, that makes sense for me. This explanation makes total sense for me.
So the whole self is constantly growing and expanding and becoming wiser. But when we change one lifetime, we literally change the core resonance of the whole self.
Yes. Now, Mary, I have a couple of questions in store for you.
Okay.
And one of the questions I have is the ascension process. I'm sure you are aware of it. Now, what is your vision that you received by Spirit about the ascension process, and how is it going to unfold for humankind?
Well, the instructions that Spirit gives to the clients at the end of they are taken to the end of the revised lifetime, and then they are instructed to simply float out of the body, float above the earth, away from the earth, till they reach the outside of the earth's atmosphere, and there they will be met by spirits who will escort them to the proper place for them to be at that time.
Interesting.
The same thing happens when I rescue earthbound spirits. But the earthbound spirits, because they for some strange reason that it differs from person to person, sometimes it's fear of hell and damnation, sometimes it's attachment to some home or some precious possession, or to a loved one that they refuse to go. But when they get to that edge of the Earth's atmosphere, they are instructed to ask to be taken home. Because no one is kidnapped. Spirit doesn't do that.
No, it must be free will.
Exactly. Exactly. And that free will extends beyond our corporal presence.
Yes, yes, that makes a lot of sense for me. And I've been thinking about creation and about the soul that we are, living in this temporal body. But there are so many lifetimes that we had and that we will have. And there are terms like star seeds, indigo children, crystal children. What do you think about all that?
Ego.
Mm. I mean, spiritual ego?
Personal ego. There are people who self-styled psychics and light workers and whatever they call themselves, mm-hmm. and they are sort of desperate to be the purveyor of great knowledge that nobody else knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural kind of thing. It's been going on as long as people have been living on this planet. I mean, you know, the mystery schools and the priests of the different temples and different religions. It's pervasive. It goes from religion to religion. It doesn't really matter. And there are those who my God can beat your God up. You know, I know better. I know what God wants. I know what God is saying. God says this to me, and this is how it is. Well, there isn't any one purveyor of truth, because none of us have it all. We have bits and pieces. The things that I'm able to work with and I'm able to give are just one tiny little bit of the whole of the knowledge. It's great for one single human to encompass.
Yes, and life is such a big mystery. The universe is such a big mystery. All is such a big mystery, and when we see a little part of the veil being lifted, we can call ourselves lucky. But there are so many pieces of the puzzle, and life is so immense, so complicated. So maybe it's good that we don't know all.
I'm thinking of the blind man and the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know that story.
Yes.
So it's that way with the knowledge that is available. And some of us are able, you know, the different kinds of clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairgustience.
Oh, yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and so no matter how Spirit tries to reach us and to edify us in ways, we can only absorb as much as we're capable of understanding.
Yes, because I think if we would know all, like there are people that have written books, The Integral Theory of Everything, like when you understand everything, you understand nothing, because people that claim to understand
everything. Then what are you doing here anyway?
Yeah. Because I believe life is about learning, and there's so many things we can learn, and there's so much ahead of us, so many mysteries. Now, Mary, I want to ask you about your clients that you have worked with over the years. What kind of results have you achieved with them?
Well, I did tell you about the one gentleman that was so shy and so apologetic mm-hmm. that he would come in and he would stand, you know, kind of drawn up into a little ball and say, "Where should I sit?" Where should I sit? And then he walked in, you know, like Douglas Fairbanks taking over the ship that he had just conquered, you know, and saying, "I think I'll sit here," you know. But then there have been a couple of people that got divorces. There was one most unusual one. This gentleman came in, and he was Mr. Everybody. You couldn't possibly pick him out of a crowd. Very, very quiet, very dressed in very sober clothes, that dark clothes that were just kind of, he almost disappeared, you know. And I thought, I wonder why he's here. I'm not above wondering to myself what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he went into another lifetime, and he was talking gibberish. You know, I couldn't understand a word. And Spirit popped in and said, "The instrument you are speaking through has knowledge of English. Translate." And he immediately began to speak in English. And it turned out that he was a young child who was scheduled to be sacrificed on one of these Aztec horrible things where they did human sacrifice. And Spirit told him to go out into the courtyard and find a sharp stone and use it to cut his forearm. And when he was bleeding, to run to the priest and cry and say, "I fell down and I hurt myself." Well, I'm sitting there in my little bubble saying, We don't do things like that to hurt people. What is going on here? Well, the priest was furious. The priest was going crazy. "How can you do this? Now you can't. We can't sacrifice you anymore. Now you're not perfect." And he proceeded to go back and forth into that language, where he was talking to the priest, and then he would translate to me what the priest had said, and back and forth into the two languages. And so then they, from there, they got the high priest. The high priest really berated the first priest for letting him injure himself. And they called his parents to take him out of there quietly, quickly. And he lived, instead of being sacrificed, he lived a wonderful lifetime in which he instituted many reforms and taught people things that way, way beyond what their civilization was privy to. Well, when he came out, he looked at me very solemnly and said, "Thank you. This, I got far more than I thought even existed," and walked out. And 3 months later, he called me and told me that session had changed his life. And he explained to me that he was a doctor, but that all of his life he had hidden his brilliance. He had never once volunteered an answer in class, even though he knew the questions better than the other kids in the class. And he had always dressed very carefully so that he would not stand out. And he was careful not to be very handsome or not to speak out even in social settings, you know? Mm-hmm. And that he now understood why he had that impulse to hide his beauty and his intelligence and his and all of the gifts he had, because in this other lifetime, by being beautiful and by being smart and by having this wonderful body and everything, what it got him was killed.
Oh, my.
So he wasn't going to do this anymore. And he said, my whole life has changed because now, for the first time, I am sharing my ideas and innovations are happening that would never have happened before because I would have thought them and they never got done because I couldn't say anything.
Well, that story makes me silent. It's just very profound, if I could choose the right word.
It was worth living for. That one incident was worth living for.
Yeah. And I can say that the healing session that you gave me before the radio show made me feel calm. And now that I hear your voice for more than 40 minutes in this show, everything that you are telling and saying is making me feel at ease and comfortable. And I would love to meet you one day. And I want to ask you how people can reach you and if they want to book a session with you, because I believe that you can also give healings on distance calls.
Well, you have proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my email is peak, P-E-A-K, underscore, vitality, V-I-T-A-L-I-T-Y at Verizon, Verizon.net.
Yes.
My website is under in a process of being revised right now. So I cannot give that out because it's not available because it is being drastically changed. So, but I am definitely available and I would be happy to respond to anyone who does email me and is interested in my work.
Well, I am for sure. And later I would like to go more deeper into my life and this lifetime and maybe other past lifetimes. Now,
absolutely.
Yes. Now, Mary, we are speaking about your life and your work and spirituality and being a therapist. You also have a radio show. Isn't life just amazing? Because in the blink of an eye, you can transform. You did transform my vision of the world.
Thank you.
You know, it's so beautiful how positivity, if you work with positivity and with unconditional love, because I'm sure that there's a lot of heartfelt unconditional love in the person that you are. Now, I think the most beautiful thing we can do is being a healer and working with our spirit guides and help people. Now, I understand that you also have worked with celebrities and business executives and artists and ambassadors.
Yes, I have.
Now, of course, I'm not asking you to name names, but how is it any way different when you give a session to a celebrity or a so-called normal person?
But celebrities are normal people.
Yes, of course. But what I want to ask
it's really not any different, except that because of their ability to reach out to other people, in a way, your arm gets a little bit longer. If you understand what I mean, work with someone who is never going to say anything to anybody about this, I've helped one person. If if I work with someone who has power to reach thousands or millions, whatever we accomplish will be extended through their grasp and their reach, and will color their work and make their work better.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And the more positive they are, and the freer they are to use the gifts that they came in with, which is the more my work is expanded. I'm convinced that we all come in with gifts. And by the time we are taught how to communicate and how to control our bodily functions and how to eat and how to move around in this earth, by that time, most of us have forgotten what we came in here to do. So it takes, as my spirit guide tells me, often it takes 2/3 of the time that you are here just to discover what you came here for.
Indeed.
So if I can speed up that process, as they said in the Bible, we see through a glass, darkly, but if I can clean your windshield, you know,
yes.
So that you are able to see better and further and more clearly, then I've done my job. Then your job is to take the gift that I've given you and go out and use it to help the world, to make things better.
Yeah, I think it might be a very good advice, if I may say so, to consult you, because in the dark rainforest that we are on Earth, with information about this and disinformation about that, and first contact here, disclosure there, the change of government, all the complex things that are happening or that are not happening, you know, it can be very confusing for people to understand the bigger picture. But if you understand the bigger picture about your personal life and what you came here to do, then in your own environment, in your own surroundings, there is clarity. And I think that's the first step for everybody, being a truth seeker or a light worker, however you call it, because that's the audience that are listening to my radio show and to BBS Radio are truth seekers or light workers, it doesn't matter how you call it. But for us as truth seekers, there's so much confusion out there. Cobra is saying this, Alkesh is saying that, Sheldon Neidl is saying first contact is imminent, you know. There's so many stories, there's so much information that it's very difficult to see clearly through the enormous dark rainforest that with the information that is around there on the internet.
The miasma. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think when you clear up your own perception about your own life, in the they can do that with you. Then for me already, because we have only worked for half an hour, I feel relieved. I feel calm, and I feel positive. So I think that we can work together more in the future, and maybe. Because that's the one thing that I feel, and I can only speak for my heart, Mary, is that if you get clarity in your own life, then that's an enormous start, and then other things will be less confusing.
Yes, in Journals of a Healer, the subtitle is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality. I have told my story, and I have within the pages of that book, there are, I guess, over 30 different sessions that people gave permission for me to share. The names are changed to protect the guilty, you know. So,
yeah, protect the innocent.
But anyway, the book is a primer, I would say, honestly, and possibly open people's eyes to the potential that we have. Because just as we bring forward unresolved conflicts from our childhood that we maybe don't even remember, but they're affecting mm-hmm. our personality and our reactions to certain circumstances, so we also bring forward unresolved conflicts from other lifetimes, which fall under the one lump. One name fits all, karma.
Yes.
So I think of it sort of like Marley's chains. And you're looking at somebody, and you're looking through the special glass that you can see in a different way that most people don't see. And you say to them, "What are you doing wearing all those chains?" And they say, "What chains? You know, those chains you're wearing, they're holding you down. They're holding you back. How can you move, mm-hmm. and how can you do things with all those chains hanging all over you?" And they say, "Well, I don't know. I've just always had them." And said, "Well, look, you know, why don't you just unfasten those chains?" And then the chains fall off. Well, how free are you without the constraints that you've been living with all your life? It's kind of like, you know, runners, sometimes they will train with heavy weights on their ankles, and when they take the weights off, they fly. So I feel that when we evaporate these imaginary chains that people are living with, then it frees them to be their greater self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I call it my highest achievement. It isn't what I do, it's what I free other people to do.
Well, I feel that you have already accomplished amazing things with this, and I feel that you will also help important people, important for themselves, because if this windscreen is cleared or these chains are removed, then people can move on and they can become successful. And I also believe in unlimited potential. I believe we have all the possibilities in the world we live in to accomplish things and to improve our latent talents, to wake them up and to become what we want to be, and that where we came for, where we were born for, because life is given to us by the Creator, and why don't we make the best of it?
Exactly. You are so right. It's beautiful.
Yes.
that you have this clear understanding, and that you are working. I feel that you are an open channel, and that you don't allow your own ego to get in the way of working with people.
Yes, I try to bring people together, to bring knowledge together, without putting myself on the foreground, you see? And mm-hmm. I believe that making a radio show is fruitful because I tried with your work, Mary. I want to promote it. I want to make it known to the world that people can call you and that they can have a session with you. And other people I interview about UFOs, it's all the knowledge that has to become public. And it's important that people know that they can be helped or that they can read about a certain topic. That is important to know because, as you know, the mainstream media, it's also said that it's all about war and about terror. And we need to see with a positive vision.
And what you send out in this planet, in anywhere, what you send out will come back to you increased and multiply. I mean, that's the law.
Oh, yes.
That's a universal law.
It is. Yes, I'm so aware of it.
So many people call you up and say, do you hear about this terrible thing that happened to this person? And they proceed to tell you something horrible. And where is your consciousness going? Where is your energy going? How can you then do something, go out and do something absolutely wonderful when you have that in your consciousness? It's sad.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful that our consciousness has melted this evening, and I have the feeling that we will do more things, more projects together in the future, Mary. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that we have met on this radio show that has now finished almost. And I want to thank my dear friend Caroline, who has connected us. She's doing so many amazing, she's spending so many hours to find guests for the show, and you were one of the top. I really feel blessed with this radio show, and I feel blessed with the listeners. So, Mary, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. And
thank you
I'm
very
sure
much
we'll...
for thank you for inviting
yes.
me. And I do hope that I was in some way able to reach your audience in a positive way.
Well, I'm very sure about it. Thank you very much. Love and light to all of you, my friends who are listening. I'll be back on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on FightingForcesRadio.com. Bless you all. Love and light.